Go ahead and turn in your Bible. Some junk mail there. It's okay. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1. Nobody goes through Leviticus as a guest speaker. So I figured nobody would have given you this message all year. But let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll study God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word. Just like was just spoken, every word is true, and every word is beneficial. And everything that you say to us, Lord, it ministers to our hearts, and it speaks of our relationship with you. And so, Lord, we want to receive this in faith, and we want to understand it well. And so please, open up the hearts of our understanding, Lord, that we might be able to receive your word, which is able to save our souls. And I pray for every man here that they would be tremendously blessed by this greatly encouraging message. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when God had called a people for himself, the nation of Israel, he delivered them out of Egypt, and he brought them into the Sinai Desert to his holy mountain. He brought them out of their bondage, and he brought them unto himself. God delivered them, and he was going to change them now. He's so good. Now, at Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments. Has anybody seen the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? You're ahead of the game. That's good. Such a great movie. I would encourage all of you guys to watch it. Such a good movie. It really is. But the book is even better, I heard. But God gave them the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and that was to guide their conscience. God also gave them the civil law, and a lot of that is found in the first five books of the Old Testament. It's called the Pentateuch, or the books of Moses, the first five books of Moses. Leviticus is one of those books, and the book of Leviticus is a guide for the Levites, for the priesthood. And the book of Leviticus is all about sacrifice. It's a very bloody book. Over and over he speaks of this sacrifice and that sacrifice and what to do in this situation and how that sacrifice applies. And so I wanted to share with you from the first five chapters, and this is not going to be a two-hour message. Can relax. But I wanted to share briefly about what the significance of those first five offerings or those first five sacrifices mean to us in our relationship with the Lord. Because everything in the Old Testament, it looks forward to the person, the birth, the ministry, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is right here in the first five chapters of the book of Leviticus. So read with me real quick. Leviticus. Let's see where my glasses went to. Here they are. That's why I need glasses. I don't even know where I put them. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. It reads, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle or of the flocks, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish, and he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him." Oh, I love it. Now, the first sacrifice that's mentioned in chapter 1 is the burnt offering. And there's five offerings that are mentioned, and each one goes by chapter. It's the burnt offering, then it's the meal offering, which is also called the meat offering or the grain offering. They're the same offering. It's not three offerings. It just has three names. Then there's the peace offering, then the sin offering, and then the trespass offering. And those are the five offerings. Now, right here it says that they're voluntary. That means that if a man wants to bring them, he can. Especially these first three that are mentioned. The sin offering and the trespass offering are involuntary. They're required to bring it. If you truly believe in the Lord, you want your sins covered and your trespasses. So you're definitely going to bring that, and it's required. Now, on the Day of Atonement, the sacrifices that were made by the high priest covered everybody, the whole nation's sins. But it was still up to the individual to prove that he believed that those sacrifices took care of him in the areas in which he lacked. And that's what this is speaking of. In fact, I've entitled this short little message that I have here for you guys, "I Have a Sacrifice." And the sacrifice was to be given by the individual in this case, these five different offerings. And since it's a voluntary offering, it shows the heart of the one who's bringing the sacrifice. Do you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, are you truly looking for God to cover your sins? Then you're going to bring a sacrifice, and you're going to bring it to the door of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, to the priest. Now, what I love about this is great stuff. What I love about this is that the man himself was never examined. He wasn't. I mean, it's already kind of understood that the man is a sinner. So the man wasn't examined, you know, this questionnaire at the front of the tabernacle to see how you're doing. How's your walk? You know, you're praying enough, you're reading enough, you know, you're serving enough. None of that. It's just understood that the man is a sinner, and what was examined was the sacrifice. Because it's to be a male without blemish, it was to be without spot, wrinkle, or any sort of defect whatsoever. And if the sacrifice itself was perfect, it was accepted. And the sacrifice would do for the man what the man could never do for himself. It would cover the area in which he lacked. And I would just say sin, but there's detail here in these first five offerings, in these five offerings that God had given to the nation of Israel. And the first one that's mentioned right here in the book of Leviticus is the burnt offering. And you'd have to ask yourself, well, what does that mean? What is a burnt offering? Well, it says it was a male, and so it could be, you know, of your flocks. It could be a bull. It could be a goat. It could be, one of the sheep. If you were poor, it could be a dove, a turtle dove, or even a pigeon. But it had to be a blood sacrifice, because these blood sacrifices, they speak of Christ. Now, we know from the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats can never really make an atonement for sin, but they look forward to the final sacrifice, the true sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. So this was a picture. It was a preview. It was a looking forward to. And this man had to come in faith, bringing his sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle, and then the sacrifice would do for the man what the man could never do for himself. And we'll talk about that as we go along to give you a good understanding of what I'm talking about. Now, in the burnt offering speaks of devotion. It's a blood sacrifice, so it speaks of the death of Jesus Christ. It's put upon the altar, it's slain, the throat was cut of the animal, the blood was shed, and the animal was totally consumed by fire. And you would think right away that, you know, this is speaking of the man's devotion. Oh man, he's so devoted, he brought a burnt offering because he's just totally consumed in his devotion to the Lord. But that's not true. Because it really is the sacrifice that does for the man what he lacks in. So really, you bring the burnt offering because you lack in devotion. And as much as I'd like to say I'm totally devoted to the Lord, I'm sold out. Even if all of these forsake you, Lord, I never would. I can't say that of myself. I would love to say that I'm perfectly devoted in everything, but that's not true. It's not. There is one who was perfectly devoted to the Father. He was obedient unto death. He did the will of the Father completely without fail. He offered himself as a sacrifice in his devotion to the will of the Father. And so the sacrifice covers what the man lacks. The sacrifice is what gives the man this right standing. It not only covers, but it credits him with total devotion. Now, in the Old Testament, the word for atonement that you read right there in verse 4 is the Hebrew word kafar. And so that's speaking of a covering for our sin, because it can only cover until the final sacrifice. Now the atonement that we have by the blood of Jesus Christ, it fully removes forever, for all of eternity. So your lack of devotion is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, that is simply amazing, that everywhere that you lack in your life is covered by the blood. And not only that, but now you're credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So God looks at you through that blood sacrifice as though you have been as devoted to the Father as much as Jesus has. That's what it means to have the righteousness of Christ. Do you think of yourself that way? Of course not, because you know yourself in your sinful nature. But like I said, God is not looking at your sinful nature and He's examining your devotion. He's looking at the sacrifice. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Then you're covered. You're covered and you're credited with that devotion. Oh, that almost sounds too good to be true. That sounds like the best news I've ever heard in my entire life. That's like gospel stuff right there, right? Gospel means good news. Now let's look at the second one. Oh gosh, I'm not going by my notes. Skipping over my notes so we can get through this. But in the second one, look at chapter 2 in verse 1. He says, "And when any will offer a meat offering," this is the next one, it's the meat offering or the meal offering or the peace offering, all the same thing. Chapter 2, Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 1. And he says, "His offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon." Now, this was the offering that the sinner, the child of God, was to bring to the door of the tabernacle. And now, this is not a blood sacrifice. So this is not referring to Christ in His death. But this is a cake that he would make. And it was a cake mixed of fine flour and oil and then frankincense, which is a sweet spice. And it was still laid upon the altar and it was still burnt upon the altar inside of the door of the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. So it was still an offering. But it really speaks of the life of Christ. Since it doesn't speak of the death of Christ and all sacrifices speak of Christ, it speaks of His life. And Jesus is that finely sifted flour, which means that He has an evenness in His character. His character is absolutely flawless. He's perfectly moral in everything. And listen, are you perfectly moral in everything that you do? Do you always do the right thing? Are you of an upright character all the time? Well, no. I'm not. But see, once again, I'm the sinner coming with a sacrifice, and I'm hoping that the sacrifice will do for me what I can't do for myself. And in this case, absolutely, the sacrifice was taken. The priest would examine it. He would see that it was according to God's requirement. It would be accepted. You would be kind of pushed to the side. Okay, you're covered. And the sacrifice would do for you what you can't do for yourself. Now, I know that I'm not perfectly moral in my character, and I know I fail. And this is an area where Satan really wants to beat all of us up, is our failure in our moral character. But you've got to remember that the life of Jesus Christ, He was never a failure in His moral character. And look, you're covered with His character. Once again, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God looks at you now. He credits you now with the character of Christ. So as much as Jesus pleased the Father in everything he did, that's to your account. And you know, that's humbling because you go, no way. Just because I know me in my flesh. Well, are you just in your flesh? Or by the Spirit, have you put your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Now the great thing, and it says back there in chapter 1, is that when he brought the sacrifice to the door, he was to lay his hand on the head of the sacrifice, and he would transfer all of his guilt to the sacrifice, so the sacrifice would go in judgment and be slaughtered and put on the altar so that you would never have to. All that's given to you now is a covering. You're completely covered. You're completely taken care of. And the sacrifice, all the wrath, all the judgment, all the indignation against sin, your sin in particular, it goes to the sacrifice, and the sacrifice takes care of all penalties completely. Jesus took care of all the penalty for what you lack in. Let's go to the third one in chapter 3. Hope I'm not forgetting anything. I got like 21 pages of notes. Now in chapter 3 it says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And so the third offering is the peace offering. And the peace offering is exactly what it's referring to in the name of it, is this is where you make peace with God. The opposite of peace is to be at war with, right? Where God's wrath would still be against you. Now, the way you make peace is not by anything that you do. There's nothing that you can do to make peace with God. He will not accept your terms at all, ever. Now, did you guys all see the movie Forrest Gump? I'm sure most everybody saw it. And remember Captain Dan? You know, he lost his legs in Vietnam, and then they got this fishing business, and there was this big storm. And Captain Dan, he climbed with no legs to the top of the mast, and he's shaking his fist at God. Come on, bring it on! And yeah. Foolish, defy God like that. But in the morning, I mean, they were the only boat to survive, and Forrest is narrating. He says, I think that night, Captain Dan made his peace with God. Well, that's not how you make peace with God, is that you defy him, and then he saves you from some particular storm, and then everything's good between you and God. There's nothing you can do to make peace with God. God made peace with you through the sacrifice. The sacrifice does for you what you could never do for yourself. God has made peace with you, so his wrath is not against you anymore at all because of the sacrifice and because of the sacrifice alone. And it's interesting that since the animal was killed right in front of the man, then I think that would humble him. Because, you know, here he's guilty. He knows it. He's feeling the guilt because he's heard the law. The law has convicted his moral conscience that he's not right with God. He brings the offering, and the offering is perfect. It's innocent. It's free from any kind of defect. But the high priest slaughters it right in front of him at the door, and the death of the animal takes the place of the man who's guilty. The innocent for the covering of the guilty. And Jesus is the Lamb of God that took away our sins. He's innocent. He's free from any kind of immoral actions, immoral thoughts, anything. And he was sacrificed in your place. The innocent for the guilty. And really, bringing the offering to the front door of the tabernacle is not an act of righteousness on my part. There's nothing for me to boast in. Oh, I brought a sacrifice. You know, it's kind of hard to boast about the sacrifice that's being slaughtered while you get to go free and just covered from your guilt. There's no boasting in that. It's not an act of righteousness on your part. It's not a moral act of righteousness. It's an act of faith. You're trusting that the sacrifice is going to cover you in the area in which you lack. Once again, great stuff. Now look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 is not right at the beginning, but let me read the beginning. Chapter 4 and verse 1. It reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let them bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering." Now, the sin offering was something that was required. I mean, if you're a true believer, if you believe that God is going to cover your sin, then you're definitely going to want to bring this one anyway. The other ones, they're voluntary. The first three are voluntary. You can bring them if you want. If you don't want to bring them, you don't have to bring them. I would think that you would bring them often because you want God to cover you in those areas that you lack. But the sin offering, I mean, it's exactly what it says. It takes care of your sin. Can you take care of your sin? Can you cover your own sin just by stopping? And, you know, I used to be a heroin addict. I'm giving you my personal testimony. Just by stopping, you know, doing heroin, does that cover my sin? Does time forgive sin because I remove myself from a certain sinful action and I haven't done it for a long time? Then that covers me and it makes me right with God. That's what really matters the most, like Dan had said, our relationship with the Lord. You know, it doesn't, not at all. There's nothing that I can do to cover my own sin. You know, if you stop sinning, there's another word for that. That's called reformation. And AA is full of a lot of guys who have reformed. They've stopped one sin, and they are still guilty in many others. But they've reformed. They've changed just that one particular action of drinking and drug abuse, but they're still separated from God. They're still dead in their sins if they haven't come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross and put their faith in Him in that area. So we cannot forgive ourselves. I mean, we can forgive ourselves. I forgive myself. Oh, big deal. Honestly, big deal. You know, you forgive yourself. Fine. You need God's forgiveness. And God forgave you at the cross. This is a blood sacrifice. It speaks of the cross, the nails that were driven into His hands and into His feet, the spear that was run up into His side, proving that He gave up His life for you to be covered for all your sins. And not just covered, but completely removed forever. And do you believe that? I mean, sin remains in our flesh. We still have this struggle, and we should. We want to be perfect in these bodies, but you're not going to be. So you have to live by faith. You do. You have to trust that the sacrifice has taken care of you forever. I'm clean from all my sins. I know that I'm perfect in my spirit. You know why I know that I'm perfect in my spirit? Because when this body of sin breathes its last, it's just my spirit that goes up into heaven and is presented before the Lord spotless. Because no sinner is entering into those pearly gates. Only saints, only those who have been born again of the Spirit of God and who have been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's you by faith in Jesus. Faith in the sacrifice. I have a sacrifice to take care of my sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And every man that brought his offering to the door of the tabernacle, then he would say, I have a sacrifice. And the priest would say, okay, let me see your sacrifice. They would never ask the guy, have you sinned today? Have you been walking uprightly? Are you devoted? How's your character lately, man? Are you living at peace with everybody, brother? They would say, let me see the sacrifice. It's accepted. You're covered. You're good. The sacrifice would do for you what you can't do for yourself. And you'd walk away humbled as the sacrifice was offered and it was killed and the blood was shed and it was put to your account. You're covered. You're good. And then you're credited on the other end as righteous and holy and free from any guilt. All your guilt was transferred to the sacrifice. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. The last one, let's look. Chapter 5. You're getting a cliff note version, which is good. There's a lot of filler besides this. Now, the trespass offering is the last one, and it's a lot like the sin offering because it deals with your sin. But the trespass offering is a little different because it deals with restitution, a payment for your sin. And it has a payment in this particular offering. So it's almost like the same thing as the sin offering, but it also has a restoration that's included. Now, let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's just look at verse 1 in chapter 5. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and well, let's skip down to, where is it? I think it's like towards the end here. Oh, here it is. In verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. So verse 15, 14 and 15 is the key. And in verse 16 it says, and he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing. Now, an amends is something that all of us should be mindful of. Remember when Zacchaeus had Jesus in his house, and Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector, and he was obviously skimming off the top. He had admitted that in his conversation with Jesus. And he went and said, everybody that I've ripped off, I'm going to restore four times as much. And Jesus looked at him and said, surely salvation has come unto this house, not just because he was going to make restitution, but because you are a son of Abraham, because he has faith. That's why. That's that comment. He's a son of Abraham. Not because of what he did, but because of what he believed. And then what he did came after that from what he believed. It should always be what the Lord institutes. He is the sacrifice for your sins. You believe in him, and then you act upon that. So it always goes righteousness, faith, and love. Righteousness is the acts of God. Faith is that you just tie in to what he's prescribed, what he's offered, and love is the response. So all your responses after that, all your actions should stem from faith and what God's already done, and then you just are expressing your love and your appreciation and your thankfulness to what he's done for you. So this trespass offering has in mind restoring what you've offended. And it's a temple shekel, and so I don't know if the shekels were determined upon the nature of the sin, how bad the sin was, or something like that, but I know that it does have some kind of amends to it. And so if you think about it, could you go back and pay back everybody that you've offended? Could you go back and say you're sorry, or maybe make a payment? You know, I know you guys stole a bunch of stuff. Could you go back and restore all that stuff? I think you should try, if you can. I was working at a movie studio. I was strung out on heroin. I was working at this movie studio in L.A., and this is before the plasma TVs and stuff. And I stole this really nice monitor. It's like a movie camera monitor. From there, it's like $800. That was a big deal back then. Now you spend $3,000 for a TV. But it was a big deal back then. And I was a Christian for probably about 5 years. And, you know, had this at my house still. You know, I disconnected cable because I was trying to be a good Christian. And I would watch, you know, the VHS videos, all Jesus stuff, of course. But I was convicted, hey, this is not right for me to have this. And I brought it back. And it's 5 years later. And I brought it to my boss, a real nice lady named Lucy Ann. And I said, hey, I'm born again. I'm a Christian now. And I stole something. I'm very sorry. And whatever you want to do, you want to call the cops on me, or you want me to pay it back, you know, whatever it cost at that time, I'll pay it back, just whatever. Just want to make it right. And she said, don't worry about it. Just leave it out in the hall. And she probably gave it to somebody else. But you know, I try to make amends, but could I make amends with everybody that I've offended? No. Listen to this. This is beautiful. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Everything. He paid for everything. Now, of course, you should do like, you know, what I did and try to restore, but you know what? You can't fix it by going and making amends with everybody. It's just almost impossible because you're so bad. You've done so many wrong things. You just can't. As much as you would like to and you should try, you just can't. And so you can't live with this guilt. Oh, I need to, you know, who is that? Third grade? Oh, man, I pulled her pigtails or whatever it is. You can't go and you can't fix everything. And Jesus fixed everything. He paid it all. He took care of your lack of devotion. He took care of your lack of character. He took care of your lack of peace, where you're not a peaceful man with everybody that you have relationships with in your life. He took care of your sin, and He took care of everything where you've offended other people, and you would love to pay it back, but it's just probably not possible. He took care of all of it. He paid it all. The sacrifice. I have a sacrifice that covers me for everything. And so I'm glorying in the sacrifice. Now, because I have a sacrifice, does this mean that I'm just free to do whatever I want? I could just sin because I have this covering all the time, and I could, you know, kind of like, what devious thing can I do next? And I'll just go and offer that sacrifice once again. We don't have five sacrifices, obviously. It's the one sacrifice of Jesus. But can I just keep sinning and then just keep going to the Lord and saying, please forgive me? Well, you shouldn't have that mindset, but the answer is yes, really. And because you do, you sin. You fail. You blow it. You do wrong things. You blow your top. You're not devoted like you would like to be. Your character isn't what you'd want it to be. But listen, God is working on you. And the more you look to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the more you realize how much you're covered, how deep you're covered, how rich you are in Christ, how abundantly you're blessed, and how perfect you are in His eyes, you're going to want to be devoted with everything you've got. And it's not to earn anything. We don't earn anything because God doesn't owe us anything. And no time in your life do you deserve to be saved whatsoever. Not now or any time in the future. You deserve nothing but judgment. But that judgment being on Jesus Christ, what He gives you as a free gift is a covering for everything that you've done wrong. Every area that you lack in your life, you are covered. And that should motivate you by love. Because He loved you so much to do this for you that you should respond back with devotion, with character, by being a man of peace, by not living a sinful life, and by not trying to offend anybody ever in even the smallest little things in your life. And it's not to try to earn, but it's because you already have a sacrifice that covers you and you're already blessed. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're good. All right, guys, I would encourage you guys to read through the first five chapters and meditate on those things that I had shared with you guys, and say it of yourself constantly in faith, I have a sacrifice. Let me close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace that we have in Jesus, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that even more, how much more now will you freely give us all things through Him who loved us? And I pray, Lord, that these words would stick with these men, and that when they get discouraged because of those things that they lack, they would say of themselves and of their relationship with you, I have a sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for giving me your Son, Jesus Christ, the atonement, the covering, the removal of all my guilt and all my shame. And thank you, Father, for crediting me with what He did in His life, His perfection, His righteousness. I have the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Father. Good news. Good news. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Whatever you want to do, yeah, now. However you want to.
Go play a song for me while you're doing. Yeah.